Jamie Aiton wrote, quote, "A colleague of mine deployed to help with a relief agency after the terrible storm Sandy in the Northeast met a man whose roof had been blown away by gale-strength winds. But this man surprised the relief team with his optimism. He told them, sometimes you have to lose the roof to see the stars." Wow, that is not what you would expect a hurricane victim to say. He must be one in a million to take such a perspective in a disaster situation. How many of us would have been that optimistic? He saw a bigger picture. He could see the beauty surrounded by ugliness. Thank you. Sometimes we get so focused on our own little corner of the world that we don't see anything else. We can become so focused on the negatives in our life that we don't leave any room for the positives. I have always loved learning and hearing about space exploration, and the discoveries of the Hubble telescope and other NASA-created devices that allow us to learn more about our universe. Recently, there was a gathering of amateur astrologists along with NASA scientists out in the desert in a remote location, over 70 miles away from any city lights. They had put up these huge, phenomenal telescopes, and people came from all over to view the stars and the planets. They showed the TV viewers on this program the scene of the moon in the telescope. It looked so close, they couldn't even fit the whole moon into the view. But it was so clear. And then they could see the planet Saturn with its beautiful rings. It was like next door. And one of them asked a NASA scientist, "How far away is that planet?" "Millions and millions of miles away. And yet, you could see it so clearly through that powerful telescope." At times, people in small towns can get so myopic that they feel their location is the center of the universe and that nothing else matters. I grew up the first 9 years of my life in a small town, but I don't like small town living. My father, however, loved it. He was born and raised in Walterboro, South Carolina, and he used to say to me, "I don't know where you came from, city girl." Because all my life I have loved the city, and I truly believe that God called me to urban ministry. Jesus also grew up in a small town called Nazareth. The people saw him grow up from a boy. They knew his earthly parents well, Mary and Joseph, and his brothers and sisters. They had heard things about him being this prophet, but they didn't expect him to come back to Nazareth and become their preacher teacher. They put limits on Jesus. They treated him just like he was still the boy that he used to be when he was growing up among them. When he began to teach them about his true mission, his role as the Messiah, the anointed one sent by God, they became angry and rejected him. They tried to throw him off a cliff to get rid of him. What he was teaching them did not fit into their idea of God, or who the Messiah was supposed to be, or who Jesus was supposed to be, and what he was supposed to do. After all, they were his elders. He should have been listening to them, they thought, not the other way around. They say in Walterboro, South Carolina, he had just become too big for his britches. At least in a local hometown phrase, they use that phrase to describe somebody who thinks themselves very important. But whether or not Jesus' hometown people agreed with him or rejected him and his teaching about God's generosity and openness to all people, Jesus was not going to let their anger or rejection deter him from accomplishing his mission. The reading from Isaiah Jesus chose to read from the scriptures was exactly who he planned to be as the Messiah, but in their time and their place in the world. Jesus was not the same boy who left Nazareth. Notice in verse 14 how Luke makes sure that we know that at this time in his ministry, Jesus was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he had received the Holy Spirit as a dove at his baptism, and the Holy Spirit then led him into the wilderness, where he was tested for 40 days and nights. That was just the first of many tests of faith that Jesus would endure. Just like us, the testing of our faith never stops. Just when we think we have conquered temptation and we are now mature, faith-filled Christians, a no-call pass interference helmet hit happens. And we have these terrible, unclean thoughts. Something comes to test us. There is a force of evil at work in the world that we struggle with on a daily basis. Jesus was not exempt from the struggle either. He used the Word of God that was hidden in his heart and mind to overcome the temptations in his soul. Look, as he came to worship with the local townspeople on the Sabbath, he carefully chose the Word of God from Isaiah to communicate his mission, his message to the people and the world. Jesus also allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work within him and through him. In his book, Life Lessons from 2 Corinthians, author Max Lucado gives a great illustration of how the Holy Spirit's power can help us as followers of Christ to achieve the mission that God has given to us, the modern church. Lucado writes, quote, "It has been said, the Christian life isn't merely difficult, it's impossible. Impossible, that is, without supernatural help. Imagine if you were being asked to write a three-act Shakespearean play as brilliant as anything that Shakespeare ever penned. A ridiculous, unattainable assignment, right? Yes, unless somehow the very spirit of Shakespeare could indwell you and write through you, then the task would be possible. That is precisely what the New Covenant promises, that the Spirit of God comes to live within us. God makes us spiritually alive and gives us a new nature and a new desire. And with all that, God supplies new power to live as God commands us." Unquote. Excuse me. Jesus was on a mission to show the world the true nature of God. Jesus has also given his church a mission to continue the work of God in our world in this day and time. And when we think we are not up to the job, God comes to help us and to supply the power needed through the work and presence of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a closer look at how Jesus describes his mission through the word from the prophet Isaiah. Excuse me. Jesus describes his mission as this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm so sorry, y'all. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let those who are oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How beautiful is that message? I don't hear one negative, critical, judgmental, condemning word in all of that mission of Jesus as he describes it himself. Do you? When I hear those words from Jesus' mouth, it makes me feel good. I feel great. It sounds like the Creator of the universe, the Almighty, all-powerful God, wants to help humanity. God wants to liberate us from the sin that brings us destruction. God wants to heal our hearts and our brokenness. He brings us good news, not bad news. And Jesus shares God's favor with us, not God's curses. God's favor, God's blessings. What a powerful mission Jesus has. What a positive mission it is. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. What a special gift to know that our God loves us, wants to help us, and give us liberty. Jesus sets us free from our sin and is our advocate, our helper, to overcome evil with goodness. So often, that is not the message that we hear from parts of the 21st century Christian church today. We hear words of condemnation. You people are going to hell unless you believe like we do. When I hear those words, it hurts. We hear criticism. We hear judgment. We hear oppressive guilt and shame. If Jesus didn't preach those kinds of messages, then why should we, as his followers? The mission of the church today is to share the good news, to share that God loves the world with people in our own communities and to the ends of the earth. And maybe one day, even to Mars and beyond. Wherever humans go, God will love the people, the creation. I get upset when I hear people sharing God's message with unbelievers, and it's negative, and it puts people down instead of lifting them up. When I grew up in the church, there was an old hymn we used to sing that said, "Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me." Jesus commands the church to love one another as he has loved us. Is that always easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. Especially if we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us with divine love and compassion. Yesterday, I had to stop and put gas in the car. It was getting too close to empty for my comfort. Now, my husband, he will let it run on fumes for miles, and I'm sitting there a nervous wreck. But for me, when it starts going below that quarter, I got to go stop and get some gas because I do not want to run out somewhere. As Christians, we also have to refuel. We can't go around giving and giving and sharing until we run out of gas. Spiritually, we need a full tank. We can pray and ask God to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, with divine love, which is greater than the love we have in our human, fallible hearts. We can pray this prayer daily, nightly, anytime, and God always hears our prayer and answers our prayers. God will not refuse to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask and receive. In my life, so many times the Holy Spirit has urged me to do something that I knew God wanted me to do. But sometimes I said no out of fear that I would fail. Other times I said, which I still pray very often, Lord, please give me the strength to do it, and I will do my best to do your will. God gives us the strength. God has answered my prayer a million times. We must, as God's children, get connected with God and stay connected. We must listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance, just like Jesus did. How did he know that the Spirit wanted him to go into the wilderness? And then how did he know that the Spirit wanted him to go to Nazareth? It's hard to explain when God communicates to you, but you will know it when it comes from God, believe me. It's this, Isaiah describes it as this burning within his bones. It's this urgency. It's this, you know, God keeps bugging me with this idea. I think God wants me to do this kind of experience. Sometimes the message will reach you through a song. Sometimes the message will reach you through another Christian who has seen some of your gifts and pushes you a little bit in that direction to offer your gift to God. Jesus listened for the Holy Spirit's guidance, and so can we. And if we get rejected, like Jesus did in his hometown, or hurt, or put down by those who reject Christ, it's okay. Jesus experienced that reality in his hometown, and he still kept on target with his mission that God had given him. Yes, you're going to find obstacles, you're going to find barriers, you're going to find all kinds of problems dealing and resisting evil and injustice. But Jesus never gave up, and we shouldn't give up either. As baptized Christians, we are called on a mission with God to the world. And our mission is to lift people up, encourage, support them, help them get free from the things that keep them looking down. And most of all, to love them as God loves them and us. Let's be grateful that we have found the love and mercy of God for ourselves and how wonderful it is to share it with others. Jesus came for the Jews and the Gentiles, for the men and the women, for the children, and for all who would receive God's love. We're so blessed to be a part of God's family. Just one other little story that I want to share with you about a disaster. And this happened, it doesn't say in the commentary where, it just says a small town in South Louisiana that this happened. It was after one of the hurricanes, and people were surveying the damage, and the pastor of this church saw on the ground, as many of us saw with Katrina, so many photos that were just thrown all over the community. Nobody knew who they belonged to, and he just started picking up some of those photos, wedding pictures, baptismal pictures, all kinds of special graduation, and there were so many, but how do you help people find those? So he decided to open the basement of the church and have a community photo lost and found. And people were also bringing photos they had found, And he put up long, long tables in the fellowship hall. People were so excited to be finding those precious pictures from their lives. There wasn't any money involved. That was a gift of love and compassion. But people still talk about the day that that church opened its doors to the community and helped them reclaim their lives by those precious photos that contained precious memories. We don't have to be the Savior of the world. Jesus is our Redeemer. We just have to be on mission to share God's love and lift people up with grace and mercy. Amen.